Wow. I have to follow that? The whole world is waiting. What a beautiful song. And that is so appropriate for the day of celebrating Palm Sunday. I asked for this music, Stan, because I move around, so that's just a warning. Thank you for all for being here today and for the opportunity to be here with you and celebrate your new minister, Reverend Jill. You are so blessed. And she is as well. So I've found it interesting, a number of you there. Now, who are you? You've had a number of various people come through the door and be up here on the stage. And so I'll tell you a little bit about who I am. And no, this is not my first time here. Some of you have said, don't I know you from someplace? And yes, we all know each other from someplace, don't we, at some point in time. But actually, I was here in 2007 as an SEE student. There were classes going on here, so that goes back a ways. And that's a little bit of my journey. She talked about my journey. I did become a licensed Unity teacher and served in the Unity of New Braunfels Church for a number of years until I got my message to go to seminary, which I think Jesus may have been a little reluctant a couple of thousand years ago on this day. Well, I was as well. I put seminary off. No, I'm fine, thank you. I'm a licensed Unity teacher. I'm teaching, I'm speaking, I can do anything I want to do, and it just would not leave me alone. Have you ever had that niggling? That niggling that just doesn't go on. And so I left my beautiful home off of Purgatory Road. That's just gonna answer the other question, yeah. I live off Purgatory Road in Eden Ranch. So I live in this place. And so I left my beautiful home and wonderful husband and dog and lived in Unity Village for 3 years going to seminary. The first winter I was there, y'all who are native Texans will understand this. It was the worst snow year ever. Anyway. So that's a little bit of my journey. I came out of seminary and I did accept the position of senior minister in Corpus Christi and loved that, and then got the next message that no, it was time to leave. So I share that with you because we're all on a journey, aren't we? Everyone's on a journey, and the world is waiting for us. Sometimes we don't know what that journey is going to look like. Certainly, when I sat in this room in 2007, I had no idea that I'd be standing up here. What is it, 11 years later as a minister? So, anticipation, hope. These are words that come easily to us on Palm Sunday. Comes easily to us when we're awaiting a newness, like your new ministry team. Have you ever had any of those expectations not quite land the way you thought they would? Kind of took a detour a little bit? I hear the giggling, so I'm assuming that's a yes. I was last week praying with a minister colleague, and we're prayer partners, and we started our prayer. We asked for what we wanted out of our prayer, prayer intention. So we exchanged that, and then she said, "Oh, by the way, I think some people are on their way that I haven't seen in a long time. So if they come, I'm gonna need to step away." And I said, "Sure, no problem. We'll just put it on pause." So we had exchanged our how what would you like for me to hold in prayer for you, that kind of part of the prayer. So she started praying, and then sure enough, doorbell rang. And she said, "Oh, there they are." I said, "Well, just put it on pause. I'll just wait." She was just going to greet them. So I hear this excitement. It had been years since they had seen each other. They were excited to see each other. Lots of energy. And then it went silent. And so I thought, well, she put me on mute. So I sat there on the phone, waiting. And the little thoughts start coming in. Is she coming back? Did she forget about me? What's going on? And then I realized that we had set an intention for that call. And that's where I went to. We had set an intention to realize these prayer requests. We had taken the action to connect. We were on the phone. And what I was dealing with at that moment were the niggly things. And so I realigned with my intention. And then she came back on the line and she had this sigh. She said, "Oh, that was wonderful." I said, "I think it's great that you got to see your friends." And she said, "I just did the prayer. Did you not hear the prayer?" I said, "No, I didn't hear the prayer." And then she said, "Well, I got the prayer." And I said, "That's wonderful." I said, "Guess what? I did too." So sometimes our paths kind of go rickety, rickety, and we still can realize our soul's journey. So I believe on this day, 2,000 whatever years ago, the peasants were gathering to greet Jesus coming into Jerusalem. They were in hope. They were in anticipation. They were excited. They were yelling, "Hosanna," which means save us, save now, save us. Looking to Jesus as the earthly king that would help them be released from the oppression of the Roman Empire. And no matter what your faith tradition is, this week, this story changed the world. So here's the scene. Outside Jerusalem, it's the celebration of Passover, which is a Jewish holiday celebrating the liberation of the Israelites from Egypt. So they've gathered there. This is a thing that they go into Jerusalem to do this. And it means that there's about 200,000 to 300,000 extra Jews in town. Can you imagine what Wimberley would look like if that happened? Now, on the other side of town, entering was the Roman Imperial Guard, the big horses, the big war horses, chariots, guards, all the armor, etc. Not to help celebrate Passover, by the way, but to assure that there would be peace. There was a phrase called Pax Romana, peace, Roman peace, peace at any cost. This represented a political power. Political power is the capacity to coerce others. On the other side of town was a different kind of authority, a spiritual authority. So Jesus had been out doing his ministry, healing the sick, curing the blind, and even raising the dead. And that got the Jewish peasants in particular very excited. He was doing all kinds of things, like not conforming to washing before he ate a meal, healing on the Sabbath, doing all kinds of bad things, really bad things. And if he had followed his brain, like some of us do sometimes, he would not have gone there. You think? He would not have gone there. But running would have meant that whatever he had gained over those 3 years would have been lost. It would have gone to oblivion. It would have implied defeat of the principle of love and the non-resistance that's his message. It would have been a lot less trouble. His enemies would have been happy. But the message would have never reached us. And on top of that, how does he enter the kingdom? How does he enter Jerusalem? On a donkey. I'm going to say this word because I've always wanted to say it, curse in church. It was on an ass. It was actually a baby donkey. It was an untrained colt. And think about this. Jesus always walked. He had always walked, but this moment, he rode an untamed colt. Something's different here. So what, right? So what, Reverend Judy? What is this story about? It has me think, what is this story really about? Is it about praising Jesus as an earthly king? Well, that didn't quite work out, did it? But fundamental in the traditional Christianity is the belief in that prophetic hope that it would be fulfilled in Jesus. That Jesus is the hope of humankind for all time, and that we must believe in Jesus to be saved. Did I say Jesus enough? Those of you with allergies, are you getting a little? The distinction with Unity teachings is that that great hope was not fulfilled in Jesus, but revealed through him. So Jesus, we look at Jesus as our way shower. Jesus symbolizes the I am identity, the Christ nature that is enfolded in each and every one of us. And this journey that we're on is the continuation of that unfoldment. Whether you were here in 2007 in the same SEE class I was, or whether you were in Houston in 1980s with one of my friends who showed up today, we're all on this spiritual unfoldment, this soul unfoldment. And guess what? It's not over. It continues, even when your new minister shows up. Spiritual journey. So what can we learn from this story? Jesus is our way shower. I look at this and see that there was an intention, just as I had an intention in my prayer request with my friend. Setting the intention, proclaiming the nature of the rule of that kingdom is peace. That intention is not from willfulness, but from will. Where is your 12th power? There's will back there. Will, that capacity that we all have of being in connection with our divine nature that will help us execute those things that will fulfill that soul unfoldment. Because human willpower is insufficient. We've got a squirrel. I'm driving in this morning. Deer. So intention. The second aspect of this is act. There was an act. Jesus did an act. It was a prophetic act. It was actually based on the Hebrew scriptures of Zechariah 9, verse 9, where the whole scene is about the peace of God's victory, the coming ruler of God's people, and it goes something like, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious. Is he humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a donkey?" So Jesus took that opportunity to act. It was a pictorial presentation of his intention. Authentic, positive faith, not necessarily comfortable. I don't think it would be very comfortable riding on a baby donkey who wasn't trained. But the aspect of that was required on this spiritual journey is the one of mastery, the power of power. Where's the power of power? Right back there. So the power of power, that self-mastery, is the capacity to guide our thoughts, words, and actions in integrity with our infinite self, claiming our wholeness. It's in every religion, this power. In Buddhism, here's a quote, "Though one should conquer a million men on the battlefield, yet he indeed is the noblest victor who has conquered himself." The power of power over our sense nature. When we get scared, when we get willful, which is another form of fear. When we already know, when we get doubtful, is she really coming back on the phone? So those things happen. Intention, act, and mastery. Can you visualize the acronym? I-A-M. I am. That spiritual identity, I am. Intention, act, mastery. So, as we move forward in our spiritual journey, our soul evolution, is it going to be that we're going to Jerusalem, like we're going to a city, or are we coming into our own spiritual identity fully, fully present, fully inspired and inspiring? This can happen in any part of our world. When we get a medical diagnosis that we're not very happy about, when we're facing a financial issue, even when we have the good news, a new minister, I invite you to look into this place of what is your intention? What is the act? What is the mastery? What is the I am that you're going to bring into this spiritual community now? You've got a new possibility. And yet, you bring with it all that you've had. You bring with it all that there is to be. I'm inviting you to the I am. Also, you may realize that I am is the name of God. given in the Hebrew scriptures. Bringing God, bringing the I am to your journey. Your vision, your ministry's vision is transforming the world. Starts here. What's the intention? What's the act? Again, not necessarily comfortable. Well, what is it? What is the act for you now? Is it stepping up? Is it stepping back? Is it stepping over? What's the mastery? What practices will you bring to play to support yourself, your biggest self? Is it meditation? Do you meditate? Are you expanding your meditation? It's a new game in town, folks. This is not the time that you're going to sit back and... Oh yeah, y'all are going to have a great time next weekend. Praising, hallelujah, glory, and all that. And that's great. And we're on a journey. You've chosen Reverend Jill, and she's chosen you. And that's beautiful. The willingness is what's really helpful. The willingness to access your gifts, receive the gifts. It's about our ability to cooperate with rather than control the flow of divine ideas. And as the Daily Word said about hope, the expectation that Spirit is at work in my life. Do you feel that? Is Spirit in your life? And I may not know how it will express. Are you willing to be there in that place? Not knowing, but staying on the donkey. Excited anticipation. Possibly chaotic. Possibly painful. But the soul knows that the next step on my spiritual journey is at hand. Yes, the soul knows. I am one with the power of divine guidance. I am that spiritual identity that is within you. I'm going to say that affirmation again. I am one with the power of divine guidance. I am one with the power of divine guidance. Beautiful. Let's just take that into our time of meditation. And this is, for those of you who haven't been here before, this is a time that we get a little more contemplative. And we allow ourselves to take into a quieter, receptive place. So if you're comfortable, I invite you to close your eyes. Allow the chair that you're sitting in to support you. If you have anything on your laps, just I invite you to set it aside. Allow your feet to rest on the floor. Allow the back of your chair to support you fully. And I invite you to take a deep breath in and exhale. Let's take another deep breath in. And as we exhale, allow it to be audible exhale. Yes. Inhaling, and then as we exhale again, we release any tension, worry, doubt, fear, anxiety just falls away. this is our time, our moment to connect in faith, in spirit. I invite you to breathe into your heart space. Allowing that breath to fill all of the space of your heart. And in that space, I invite you to bring in a thought, a loved one, and maybe a beloved pet, a beloved memory, a moment when you were the overcomer. A moment when you mastered. A moment when you were the I am. Having our attention in our heart space is that space of knowing, that space of being so deeply connected that we're willing to take the next step. We're willing to say what needs to be said. We're willing to do what needs to be done. We know that we're not alone in those steps. We feel and know the presence of Spirit in us and all around us, strengthening us. We know that there have been others before us. There's been Jesus and Buddha, probably our neighbor, our parents, our ministers. There are others that have shown the way. And we tap into that. For we know that we are all made in the image and likeness of divine. This is the truth of who we are. This is our essence. And as we take a moment to really be connected and centered in that essence, we allow ourselves to go into the silence. And as we gently, very gently bring ourselves back into this time and space, we bring with us those gifts that we received with gratitude and with grace. We know what is ours to do. We know we're on the spiritual journey. We know our soul's unfolding. And we are grateful for this moment. And so it is. Amen.
We're going to go.